The sermon this evening meditates on all three of these readings. To start, I reread from the reading from Luke chapter 24. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If we have gone to Sunday school as children or been brought up in the church for a long time, those narratives, the stories of the birth of Jesus in Luke and in Matthew 1, and then also his death and suffering and death and resurrection in the Gospels, these narratives we know very well. And we spend time in services celebrating what Jesus has done for us, and that he is both God and man, born of the Virgin Mary. This narrative, which is found in several places in Scripture, we don't always think about so often or celebrate, but it's very good too. For this is part of our salvation, that Jesus ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of God the Father. We think a few things. What happened on Ascension Day? Well, Jesus left earth. And he bodily ascended into heaven, body and soul into heaven. And as I think about a couple of these things, there's a little bit of a contrast to the Christmas narrative. If we think about it, he was born of the Virgin Mary. He bodily came to life in this earth, first being carried in the womb of Mary for 9 months, and then being born. And now he has, for about 33 years, carried out his life and ministry, and he is bodily leaving this earth in this text. Now, as I read this text and other texts too, there's kind of a contrast or difference between this and the Christmas narrative. Do you remember the Christmas narrative? And there were shepherds abiding with their flocks by night. And lo, behold, the glory of the Lord came, an angel came, and the heavenly choir was there. And they were filled with fear. It wasn't quiet, it was very loud and surprising and scary. And I can imagine that the shepherds were like almost fainting. They didn't faint, it doesn't say they fainted, but almost fainting. What is all this around us? What is going on? But this text, now he is victor, and he is ascending into heaven, and they're looking, and it seems to me like it's very quiet. And two angels are right by them, and they say, what are you doing standing looking up into heaven? This Jesus, the way he went into heaven, he will come back to you again. And they went off to Jerusalem and were worshiping God. Very quiet. Really kind of different than what we read of the angels coming to the shepherds. Now, in both scenes, in the Christmas narrative and in this, the Ascension, an angel, or in this case, two angels, explain to the people what's going on. We remember at Christmas time, at that time, then the angel comes and delivers this great message. This son of David, this baby is born to you and for all people. Go look in Bethlehem, go, there's a baby there. He explains to the people, to the shepherds, what's going on. Here also, two angels explain to the disciples what's going on. He's gone into heaven. You're looking up into heaven, but he's gone now. But he'll come back. And so there's an explanation of Jesus coming down to earth bodily, born of the Virgin Mary, and then also ascending from earth bodily. The angels, as he said, and as Jesus said, and as it's prophesied many places, he will return. He will return visibly. That is part of the Christian faith. And even though he is bodily gone and is at the right hand of God the Father, he is still with us. His presence is with us. He promised. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But so we're not left all alone. He is still with us in a certain way. So Jesus left the earth that day, but heaven received him that day. And the way John sees and records the vision, it appears as if heaven was waiting for Jesus to return, waiting for the victor. As John says, and this, it is God the Father sitting on the throne. And God the Father sitting on the throne with a scroll in his hand. And there goes up a call, who's worthy to open the scroll? And as you read through Revelation, the scroll actually has the history, the upcoming history and rule of the Christian church and the visions of that. But who's worthy to open that? And John, it was so important, John began to weep, he says. And the elders, one of the elders said, don't weep. Look, look who's come. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. And he will open the scroll. This is something meant for the Lamb of God to do once he has suffered and died. And now ascended and risen and now ascended into heaven. Stephen, he was offered a chance to see Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. It's a little bit later in Acts chapter 7, still that very early days of the Christian church. Stephen was chosen as one of the seven deacons to help the apostles. And yet he was a great preacher and a great witness. And he was drawn to witness to all the Jews there. And what we hear of Stephen is that he is the first Christian martyr. He's the first one to die for the faith. But as he was dying, he was given the chance to look into heaven and to see Jesus. Now he's ascended already. Now Pentecost has come, and Stephen sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father. I read a few verses from Acts 7. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Stephen had seen, when was given to see, that now Jesus has ascended and he looks into heaven and sees Jesus there at the right hand of the Father. Heaven received Jesus. Heaven received the conqueror, the victor, who would rule the church. Now, the days leading up to his ascension, and that a very ascension day as well, Jesus explained to his disciples that he has a task for them. They are his witnesses. And he opened their minds to the scriptures to understand the scriptures well. He had been teaching them, and it's recorded in many places in the Gospels. But he opens their minds so they fully understand, because we know that oftentimes during his 3 years of ministry, they were like, yes, you are the Christ, and then they're afraid and or they're confused and they're not sure. But he opens their minds so that they understand And in this, it's a lovely thing that how it, Jesus says it and Luke records it. He says, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In that threefold statement, that is how the Jews saw the whole Old Testament, the five books of Moses, the Torah, all the prophets, and the Psalms. And oftentimes, they use the Psalms to cover Proverbs and Ecclesiastes as well, the wisdom literature. And Jesus says, everything written about me, I give into your minds, and you're going to understand it. And he leaves that writing for us, those in his day, and even for us. And he says then, so the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And he says this phrase, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You see that repentance and forgiveness of sins? That is both the law, repentance for our sins, and the forgiveness of sins, the gospel. Both law and gospel would be proclaimed, he says, in his name to all nations, to all the world. That's the task that Jesus gave. So Jesus left them to make disciples. He gave them all scriptures, and he gave them the task to apply the scriptures to every situation. When you think about it, he says, teach everything I have commanded you to all nations. That means make sense of it. Tell them, apply it in all situations. This is a big task he had given those first disciples. And he gave them speaking forgiveness to one another. And he gave them baptism. And he gave them the Lord's Supper. This Ascension Day is like a victory coronation, receiving the victor in heaven. And now he's going to take up his reign and rule. And in Revelation, he unrolls, he opens the history of the world to come as the church goes through many years. He is reigning. Are we left alone and behind? No. He told his disciples very clearly before he died and also right before he ascended, I will send you the Holy Spirit. And remember, we've talked about it, the Holy Spirit, that word there in John, the paraclete, the comforter, the advisor, the counselor. I will send you the one that will help you with all wisdom and strength, knowledge. And Jesus has given us his teachings, which he put into the minds of those first disciples so that they would know it and understand it and teach it and write it down well. He gave his baptism. He gave his supper in which he says, this is my body which you are eating. This is my blood which you are taking and drinking. I'm with you. And in that special way, he remains with us through the power of his word and promise. Jesus, in many occasions, then told his disciples, and you must love one another. He washed the disciples' feet that night before he died. You also must serve one another. And he taught many things about how the servant is not above the master, but the master takes care of his people, so they would also should take care of one another. And John is very strong on this in his epistles. Love one another. And as we love one another, God's love abides in us, we also love one another. God loves and cares for us daily through one another as well. And Jesus promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. I am with you. He has bodily ascended into heaven. And yet, in the very special and powerful ways that blesses us, he is still with us. And he gives us this task, to love one another and to bear witness to what he has done for all people. the angels and the people singing in heaven, they sang that this is he who, I'm going to see it, find the passage again. Verse 11 out of the Revelation 5. John wrote, then I looked and I heard around the throne, verse 9, the new song. They sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Jesus has received into heaven, and heaven says, you have conquered, you have redeemed, you have ransomed people from all nations and languages and tribes. And it's those very people that we are a part of that Jesus calls us also to witness to others as well. That is part of his reign, is this witness, this task that he gives us as we love one another. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to conquer sin and Satan and death, and to be received by you in all of heaven as our conqueror, as our Savior. Give us strength and hope every day, knowing that your Son, Jesus, is ruling over us, knowing that your Holy Spirit lives with us and in us, and that we have hope that Jesus will return again bodily to take us to your house, to take us to your kingdom in heaven. And give us your grace through the words of Jesus recorded through his baptism and Lord's Supper, so that we will remain faithful and we will be ready to lift up our heads and receive him with great joy when he returns again. In the name of Jesus we pray, Heavenly Father, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand.